What is happening, City Hope family? You ever walk in this room and just feel like you're home? You know what I'm saying? Just that kind of response, you just feel like you're home. Man, I'm so glad to be here. We have had a good time already, but let me tell you, we have so much in store in the next few minutes. But what just happened was all of our campuses just tuned in. So what I want to do is I want to take a second, and I want to welcome our campuses, and I want to start in our correctional facilities at Fountain, Fountain Annex, Loxley Work Release, Holman, right? Yeah. They can't even wait here at Malvis to welcome you. But we also have Foley, Mobile, Midtown, Baymanette, where at whatever campus you're in, do me a favor, put your hands together and let's just welcome our family to church. But do it really big. Wherever you do it big. Yeah. So good. So listen, we're in the middle of a series entitled Miracles. We kicked off last week, and I'm going to get to that, but it's just going to be a minute if y'all are okay with that. We've got a couple things I want to do, and the first thing I want to do is we have a special guest with us today, and in just a minute, I'm going to invite her up to greet you and to greet our church, but just a quick little backstory. Probably 5 years ago, we were able to meet this family, and they were doing just amazing things, and probably 4 years ago, they're in India, and they're doing amazing things in India. And about 4 years ago, Pastor Jerry and I had the opportunity to go and spend a few days with them. And I don't know how many days we were there. We were there like 5 days, and we ran the whole time. It was nonstop. They allowed us to dedicate some new church buildings. They allowed us to dedicate some houses they had built for those that were in need. And I'm telling you, I don't think I touched just a little bit of what they do as a ministry. I couldn't wrap my head around it in 5 days of all that they do, and we didn't even see it all. I thought about just trying to go through a list of some things that they do, but I'm going to leave so much out. They do a ton. They build the kingdom, and for 5 years, you, City Hope Church, you have partnered with this ministry. So you've been in India. You didn't even know it, but you're doing things in India. So I want you to do me a favor. Stand to your feet and help me welcome Becky Stanley. Come on. So I want to give you guys can have a seat. I want to give you a moment, just take some time, greet the church, fill us in on what is happening in India.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Pastor Dale. Thank you all for such a warm Southern welcome. You've really made me feel home here. It's such a joy and privilege for me to be here, and I want to, first of all, bring greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I also want to bring greetings to you on behalf of all your Christian brothers and sisters in India. And I want to also take this opportunity to say a big thank you. You have made a kingdom investment in India, and because of your prayer, because of your generosity, and because of your selfless giving, the kingdom is advancing in a mighty way. And just a snippet of that, in November of this year, the ministry of the India Gospel League that I represent will be celebrating the planting of 100,000 churches in India. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It is not because of what we are doing, it's not because of our strategy or our know-how, but it is simply because of the Holy Spirit that is being poured out on that country today. Amen. And it's also because of people like you praying and partnering with us so that God's light can shine where darkness prevails. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So thank you very much, and I want to encourage you to please pray for us as we move ahead with a new goal of planting a church in every village in India by 2040. Is it possible?
Yes.
Yes, it is possible. It is possible. With God, all things are possible. If God helped us in the last 20 years to plant 100,000 churches, I'm sure He can double that for us. Yes. So we're looking towards 2040 of planting a church in a village, in every village in India. So I want to encourage you to pray with us. We as a country are going through some very difficult times right now, very challenging times with our political situation. Persecution is increasing. We're having all kinds of social and communal problems in our country. And now is the time. If there was ever a time that you needed to keep India in your prayer, if there was ever a time that you need to come alongside and support your brothers and sisters halfway across the world, my friends, today is that time. Now is that moment. So I want to urge you and I want to request you humbly to please pray for us. And finally, I want to again thank you for investing in our lives, investing in the kingdom in India. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so much. Hold on. Come on. I think she would preach if you gave her just a little bit, just a little bit. Hey, listen, let's pray for them right now. You know what I'm saying? So stretch your hands this way, whatever campus you're in. I know you're not right here in the room where she is, but stretch your hands toward the screen, wherever you're watching this right now. Let's pray. Everybody pray together. Don't wait on me. Father, we're so thankful for what you're doing. God, you are faithful. You are sovereign. God, you know what you're doing. You're in India, just like you're in the United States. God, you are everywhere, and we are so thankful for India Gospel League. We're thankful for this family. We're thankful for the laborers that are a part of this ministry, God. And we don't know everything that's happening in India, but God, you do. And you know the outcome. You know where it's headed. And we pray, God, that your hand would be on them. Your spirit would be in that country. You would be moving like never before. God, we know that there are doors closing and there's pressure coming from different areas. But God, that is when the church grows. And so, Father, we're believing that the church of Jesus Christ is going to grow. People are going to be changed. Lives are going to be changed radically and turned around and turned toward you in Jesus' name. God, we believe this. We trust you. We're not nervous. We're not concerned. We believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone said amen. So listen, before you head down, one thing I want to tell you, and this is something you didn't know about that we started this year. Many of you, if you've been here the last few weeks, you've heard us talk about an initiative that we call Kingdom Builders, and this is something that we started this year, and we're going to do it till Jesus comes back, I believe. It's just what we're supposed to do, and this is this idea of we're going to do more. We're going to build the kingdom, and if you've got one of these books, when you get home, if you don't have one, why not? Stop by the Connect Center and get your Kingdom Builder Project Guide. But on page 13, you'll see in there that what we want to do, one of the things we want to do, one of those projects, is to fund the construction of two churches in 2020. And we already partner with India Gospel League, and you give financially every month, and we're already doing some stuff. But because of the offering that we received 2 weeks ago, we're going to take some of those funds, and it's coming to India Gospel League. She didn't know anything about this. That's why this is kind of fun right now. But we're going to fund the construction of two churches because y'all plant so many churches, you're raising up pastors. So church, that's what you've already done. That's happening right now. So
thank you very much. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. That's Kingdom Builders. That's what we get to do even right now, is be able to fund those churches because of your generosity. And something else that you know that just happened this week on Tuesday, tornadoes went through Nashville, and honestly, it's devastating. It's bad. It's probably worse than any of us actually know. But we were able to respond really, really quick. I want y'all to take a look at this. Watch this.
We're standing here in some of the worst places of devastation of the tornadoes that happened in the city of Nashville. Much of our city is devastated and destroyed. Many have lost their lives. Many more have lost their homes. And our city is shaken at the core. What we may never see in the news is that in 10 minutes a storm did what we think will take years to put back together. And as we stand on ground zero trying to figure out what to do, I need you to know that we have hope because of you. Our city and our church will never forget the day that City Hope stepped into Nashville, Tennessee, with generosity that's allowing us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Pastor Trey, thank you so much for your generosity. You know, quite honestly, I don't know that we'd be able to do what we're doing without it. So thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for responding so quickly. Thank you for throwing us a lifeline just when we need it. Thank you for being one of the first churches to make sure that our walk is louder than our talk. On your behalf, we are going into the city that we love. We're being the hands and the feet of Jesus. And we know that God's going to turn what looks like a ghost town into cities that can't be hidden. People are going to come to Christ. People are going to find freedom. People are going to be changed forever because of your generosity. One thing I've figured out is we are truly better together.
Come on. You realize God uses, He just wants to use people to do what He wants to do on the earth. And what you've done, listen, just from the last couple weeks, through Kingdom Builders and your generosity, and you're willing to say, you know what, God, you're calling us to do more. I'm not just going to tithe. I'm going to do more. I'm going to give above and beyond. And this is what we're able to do. We're able to reach outside of this building, outside of our communities, and reach the world through Kingdom Builders. Isn't that amazing? Jeez. Just to give you just a snapshot of what this would have looked like last year, or without Kingdom Builders, a tornado would have came through. We would have been scrambling, saying, hey, we got to get something out on social media. We've got to put something out there. We're going to open up a giving option. Hey, guys, we need you to give, give, give. So wait through a Sunday so everybody could give. And in a week or 2 weeks go by, and then we're able to give to something like this. But we don't want to just react. That's not what you do. You want to plan, right? You want to respond. And in Kingdom Builders, I don't know if you've looked through the book, but I think it's page 22. There's a fund there for disaster relief. And so when you gave the other day, we said, you know what? Just in case, let's put some there. And then Tuesday, this happened. Surprise, surprise, what a coincidence, right? God knows what He's doing, and we were able to be there first. Now, I'm not sure, they're partnering the Convoy of Hope, and I'm sure people are giving so much more than we'll ever give, but we were able to get there quick, give something to resource them, to help them. And so that's what Kingdom Builders is. It's not, this isn't going to be like once a month we're going to do an offering. It's not going to be a big offering-driven thing. I know we have some people, that's what my wife and I decided to do, is just, we just want to set up recurring giving, because I just want to continue to fund this thing, so when things arise and the projects that we've already identified are happening, we just want to be able to fund them. We're not waiting until it's all funded to do it. We're just going to do this. Isn't this fun? I feel like y'all aren't having as much fun as I am for some reason. Maybe it's the light. I don't know what it is. Man, this is amazing. All right. We're in the middle of a series, right? We started last week, and the series is entitled Miracles. And the idea, what we want to do, is we want to walk through the seven miracles in the book of John. John recorded seven miracles. We're just going to ease through those things and see what it is they're going to speak to us. And let me tell you why we're going to do this. Why is it just we picked out a book of the Bible? No. Listen, let me tell you why, and I want to read from John 20. This is why we want to do what we're doing. It says this. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're pausing, right? We're not pausing, but that's why we're taking time to go through these miracles, so that you and so that I may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by that, and that, by believing, you may have life in His name. So we just wanted to do this just so that we can believe, just so that we may believe. And going back over the last few weeks, if we're going to be new creations, if we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we have to believe the gospel. We have to believe that Jesus is who He says that He is. We have to believe what Hebrews 13 says, that Jesus was the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's going to be the same forever. And so we're doing all this just so we may believe. And we could read through these stories, and you've read many of these before, but they're not just for good reading. They're there to encourage us, to inspire us, to remind us that God is still doing some amazing things. So what we're going to do is I'm going to jump into the second miracle that Jesus performed in the book of John, and it's in chapter 9. We're going to read through it, and we'll come back and unpack. As He traveled through Galilee, He being Jesus, He came to Cana, where He had turned the water into wine. And if you were here last week, we talked about that miracle, and it was amazing. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and he begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. Jesus asked, "Will you never believe me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" The official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." Then Jesus told him, "Go back home, your son will live." And the man believed what Jesus said, and he started home. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, "Yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, the fever suddenly disappeared." Then the father realized that was the very time that Jesus told him, "Your son will live," and he and his entire household believed in Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if you slow down, if you just read it, it's a really cool story, and it's a miracle, and it's amazing. But if you slow down and really just kind of dissect it a little bit, to me, it's a very interesting conversation. You've got this guy, his son's obviously on his deathbed, and he travels over 16 miles to beg Jesus to simply come and heal his son. And I don't know if you caught it, but Jesus' response was a little bit harsh. He said, "Please come heal my son." And Jesus, basically what he did is he questioned his faith. He questioned his belief. Jesus popped back. He said, "Will you never believe?" So the guy says, "Will you come heal my son?" And Jesus says, "Listen, will you never believe unless you see a miracle?" And all he was concerned about, if you're a dad, you get this. If you're a mom, you get this. All he's concerned about is his son. And then Jesus comes back. "Will you never believe?" Now, obviously, this guy had faith in Jesus' power to heal, or he wouldn't have been there. But the question is, did he believe? He had faith in his power to heal, but did he believe in Jesus' power to save? Obviously not. That's why Jesus came back with that. I don't know if this guy had ever given Jesus really a second thought. I'm sure he had heard that there was a guy walking around that was calling himself the Messiah. And so here he is. He's desperate. Desperate times call for desperate measures. You've done some desperate things, right? You've been in a desperate place, and you're like, "Man, I'll do anything." At this point, this guy said, "Man, if he's the Messiah, I don't know, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to find out. I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to see if he'll come." So he came, and he was actually pulling on Jesus to come to his son. And it was like he was saying, Jesus was more concerned about his life. He's like, "Man, if you'll just believe in me, I can save you." But it's like the guy came and saying, "Hey, Jesus, listen, I'm not really interested in putting my life in your hands right now. What I really need you to do, Jesus, I need you to put your life in my hands, and I need you to come back with me and do what I need you to do." I don't know about you, but I've been there so many times, it's sad. "God, I'm not going to give you everything. I may not give you anything right now. I just need you to give me yourself, and I need you to come back with me." And Jesus, he comes back and he says, "Will you never believe if you don't see a miracle?" And I think the guy, I don't even know if he heard that statement. It was just like, because he pops right back. He's like, "Please." It says he pleaded with him, "Please come before my little boy dies." Nothing else at this point matters, Jesus. Just come. And then Jesus says those words. He says, "Go. Go back home. Your son's going to live." And then you heard the story. On his way home, he runs into his servants, and they're excited. "You're not going to believe it. The fever broke. Your boy's doing good." And then he does the math. He starts figuring out, when did this happen? Hold on. If it happened then, that was about the time Jesus was telling me. Hold on a second. When Jesus said those words 16 miles away, something happened back in Capernaum. Because here's what we know. The reason that can happen is because God's power follows his commands. He just said the word. The guy saying, "Come with me," Jesus said, "Listen, you can go home. He's better. He's good." God's words follow his command. You know, one word from God can set right things that nothing else can when we can just hear the voice of God. Jesus knew that there was no distance that could keep his word from accomplishing what it set out to accomplish. 16 miles was nothing for him. He's just like, "Man, if I could just say the word, nothing's going to stop that thing from happening," because he knew that his words had power. Listen to what the Lord spoke through Isaiah in Isaiah 55. This is a beautiful picture of what the Word of God can actually do. It says, just as the rain and snow descend from the skies, and they don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. Look at this. They will do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment that I gave them. That's the power that's in the Word of God. That's the power when Jesus said, hey, you can go home, your son's going to be okay. That's the kind of power that he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, those words won't come back until they've accomplished what they set out to do. God's Word does things. It accomplishes things. It fixes things. It makes right things that are wrong. And here's the cool thing about it. God can activate his Word. Listen to this. Hey, we can activate this Word. And this wasn't the first time this had happened. This wasn't the first time that we heard God's Word actually just do things. And it's not the last time, if you read the Bible, it's not the last time we heard it. If you read Genesis, the first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter of the Bible, 10 times we see these two words, God said. God said. Let me tell you what you won't find 10 times in the first chapter of the Bible. God did. He didn't have to go do a lot of things. There's power in his Word. That's what I want you to hear. 10 times he said, God said. Listen, here's a couple examples. He said, let there be light. Bam! There was light. He didn't have to reach in his pocket and say, okay, I'm going to hang the sun over here. I'm going to hang the moon over here. Man, he no hands required. He just said, let there be light. Boom, there was light. Another one, he says, this is awesome. He said, let the waters flow together so that dry ground can appear. You would think he's so big, he holds the world in his hand, he could just take and go, let me push the water over here, I'm going to pull the land up, I'm going to make a mountain over here, I'm just, you know what, let's do, tweak this thing. No. He just said, hey, you know what, let the waters move over and let the ground come up. And man, it just happened. He said, let the land sprout with vegetation. Man, if we want to do this, It's this whole, you got to open the ground up, you got to drop the seed, you got to cover it up, you got to water it, you got to fertilize it, sun, all these things. And he didn't have to do any of that. Do you get where I'm going with this? He just said it and it happened and it goes on and on. He goes, let's fill the waters up with fish. Boom, it happened. Let's fill the sky up with some birds. Life, let's bring life, let's produce things. And man, he's just saying it and it's just popping all around because his words have power. His words have power. And after this miracle, Jesus is walking around the earth and he's just saying things. Man, he's walking up to people that are blind and he'll speak a word and all of a sudden, boom, they're seeing. He's walking up to people that are dead. He's saying a word and boom, they're alive. He's walking up to lame people and now this isn't the only way that he heals, but I'm thinking, God, there's got to be a reason this is in the Bible from the beginning to the end, the fact that your words have this power. Now, there's a place for prayer. There's a place for laying on of hands and all this to get miracles done. But, man, there's got to be a reason for this. Now, let me ask you this question. Don't answer it out loud. But when was the last time you heard the voice of God? When is the last time you heard the voice of God? There are some people listening to me, and as soon as I asked that question, you said, Dale, it was amazing. This morning, I was actually in my quiet time, and I heard God speak, and I journaled it, and it was beautiful. Some of you would say, you know, during worship, Dale, I heard God speak to me about this, and it was pretty amazing. Some of you would say, you know, Dale, it's been a while. It's been a few weeks. Some of you would say, months. Dale, it's, you know, it may have been years since I've heard God speak. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but what's sad to me is there's people listening to me that would say, Dale, I don't know that I've ever in my life heard the voice of God. And let me be clear about the question. What I'm asking you is, when's the last time you heard the voice of God? I didn't ask you the last time God spoke to you, because here's what I believe. It hasn't been that long since I've heard God speak to me, but you know what I believe? I believe he's spoken to me since I've heard him. I believe he said something. Probably in the last few minutes before I stepped out here, when I was just racing through in my mind, like, God, what am I going to do? How's this thing going to flow? What in the world? And he probably said something in there that I didn't hear. But when's the last time you actually heard him? And this is huge because it's all through the Bible. And we say this whole idea, this whole life of following Jesus, we always say it's a relationship. It's not a religion. What kind of relationship can you have without communication or one-way communication? I've tried the one-way communication in my home for years with my wife. It never works. She's like, I want to say something and you're going to hear me out, you know? It goes both ways. But what kind of relationship can you have without communication? Otherwise, you don't have anything. You've got a religion or something that's cold and dark and sterile. The problem is many of us either don't know that we can hear the voice of God or we don't believe we can hear the voice of God. And if we do, we don't necessarily know how. This guy needed a miracle. Many of you here need a miracle. And what if God is saying something to you about that miracle, but we're just kind of, I don't know, for some reason, we just can't hear him. Here's what I want you to understand. Just like Hebrews said, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And man, he still speaks. He's still speaking. And the fact that I'm not getting a whole lot of amens tells me there's a lot of people that just aren't hearing. We just have to learn to listen. We just have to tune in. We just have to hear. And that's what this guy did. This official, this boy's dad, that's what he did. He heard. And I want to simply just hit three things real quick that he did. And they sound so simple, but I think we miss them so often. And the first thing was simply that. He heard. He put himself in a place where he could hear God. And the deal is, the Spirit of God had not been poured out then. You know, like today, the Spirit of God can be in each and every one of us, everywhere, all the time, no limits to it. But at that time, it was just Jesus. He was in one place at one time, and this guy traveled 16 miles. Not a big deal today. Big deal back then. He traveled 16 miles to put himself in a place where he could hear Jesus say, go back home, your son's going to live. He heard the voice of God. Religion says only certain people can hear God. You've probably thought that before. Man, I need to get around that person because they can hear God. I need to hear what God said. I need them to tell me what God is saying to me. But relationship says we can all hear the voice of God. The Bible talks about us as sheep, refers to us as sheep. You and I are sheep. Let me tell you the good news about that. Is we have the opportunity, we have the ability not only to hear, but to recognize the voice of the good shepherd. We can hear the voice of God. Just a little proof. Look at this. John 10, look here. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice. And they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. Look, here's another one. A little bit later. Same chapter. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. These two scriptures encourage me so much. When I'm in a place where I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm struggling. I need something from you. I'm reminded that I can actually hear his voice. I can position myself in a place where I can actually hear him. Have you ever been in a place, or have you ever been, I know you've had this, we've all had it, where you're trying to talk to somebody and they're just extremely distracted, and they're not listening, or maybe they're listening but they're not hearing, or they're hearing but they're not listening. You know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you the big struggle in me is, that's a huge pet peeve of mine, by the way. But I do that. I'm so easily distracted. So I'm like the enemy of my pet peeve. But when you're talking to somebody and they're just, maybe they've walked out of the room when you're talking and they walk out and you're like, hey, and they're just keep talking. I can hear you from in here. I'm not going to even look around this room. You know. That's happened, you know? And I'm like, but you're distracted. or it's like this, I don't have my, you know, you're talking to somebody and they're like, yeah, yeah. Yep. What's sad is I've done all that. I've done every bit of that. Just distracted. I don't know about you, but it just drives me nuts. What does God think about that? When he's like trying to speak, he loves us so much. We're going through so much. We need a miracle. And then he's like, oh, I got to talk to you about that miracle. And we're just running around. We're distracted. We're everywhere but where he wants us to be. And you know what the thing is? It's not, you can't blame it on 2020 or 2019 or whatever. It was in the Bible. If you look back, you see all these times when God was speaking and he had to do drastic things to get people's attention. Now, I don't know if this was all that drastic, but there was one story in the Bible where there was a young guy and he would wait. It's like God would wait for him to go to sleep and then he would call the boy's name was Samuel, and he'd say, hey, Samuel. I don't know what that little boy did during the day, but he must have been just crazy running around like nuts, and then God waited for him to go to sleep. He's like, finally, I can get to him. You know, there's a story in the Bible. The Bible's full of some amazing stories. There's a story in the Bible where God gave a donkey the ability to speak to get a dude's attention. That's a hard-headed man right there. He's like, I'm going to make his donkey talk. God was showing his donkey some things, and the donkey's trying to go different ways, and like he's just beating his donkey, and finally he's like, all right, God's like, go ahead, tell him what's going on. Isn't that nuts? There's another story in the Bible where for some reason, I don't think God just likes to show off. I think he couldn't get through to this one guy, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to talk to him from a bush. Matter of fact, I'm going to set the bush on fire, and then I'm going to speak. If that doesn't get his attention, nothing will. This is in your Bible, folks. Isn't this crazy? And there was this one hard-headed dude. He knocked him slam off of his horse and blinded him. God was distracted, right? He's like, you know what? I'm going to knock him off of his horse. I'm going to blind him. Because God can speak any way he wants to. And I don't know about you, but I personally, I'm a hard-headed guy. But I don't want to be so hard-headed that he's got to do something drastic to get my attention. I want to be the kind of guy in the middle of my crazy whirlwind day that when God says, Dale, I want to be able to go, what? Stop. Hup. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I want to be with him. I don't need you to talk to me from a burning bush. I don't need you to knock me off of my horse. I don't need you to all that. I really just want to be so sensitive because the word of God has power. I have miracles that I need. I have things in my life that I struggle with. God, I need you. And just as a quick little side note, it's amazing, but I do hear God's voice. And for some of you that are struggling, like, what does that look like? What does that sound like? I think it's a little bit different for everybody. But just for me, many times God doesn't, when he speaks, he doesn't speak a book, you know. It'll just be like a word. Or else he'll just kind of show me a word or a picture. And sometimes I understand. I'm like, ah, yes, that's all I needed. Thank you. Other times I'm like, what? And you know how good God is? He's just like a good dad. He's like, if I look at it and say, God, what are you saying there? He'll come back and he'll say, what I'm trying to say there, Dale, is this. And then he paints this beautiful picture of what he's trying to tell me. That's how good he is. And listen, this official, this man, this dad, he could have completely missed it if he hadn't traveled and went out of his way to actually hear the voice of God. And let me say this before I get off this one point. This is what I believe gives us a desire to hear the voice of God. I think desperation gives us the desire to hear the voice of God. You know, and some people are desperate. There's a life and death situation like this guy, and man, that's desperate. And that's when you're like, God, I got to have you. I've got to hear what you have to say. But you know, there's some people I know, they're desperate on a Tuesday morning when everything kind of looks good. They're just that desperate. That's what I want to be. They're the kind of people that are like, you know, God, today's Thursday and my calendar looks good and my family's healthy and everything looks good, but God, I'm desperate to hear you today. What is it you want to say to me today? You see what I'm saying? Like anyway, that's what this man was. He was desperate. So the first thing he did was hear, and the second thing he did, he just simply believed. It starts with hearing, but then he believed. Verse 50 simply says, and the man believed. I'm glad he wasn't so hung up on God, on Jesus doing what he wanted him to do, the way he wanted to do it, that he couldn't just believe what he says. You know, we say we believe a lot of things, but our lives don't really show it. You ever notice that? Some things come out of, oh yeah, I believe this, 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 but our lives don't. What if we lived our lives in such a way that what we believe just kind of came through that? Like, I never even had to tell you I was a Jesus follower. You just watch me and be like, oh man, that guy loves Jesus. What if we lived our lives in that kind of way, just hearing the voice? And that's what happens when we hear God's voice and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God speaks. Like I said, it changes things, but you know what it changes before it changes things? It changes you. More times than not, when God speaks to me, he doesn't just come in and just fix everything on the outside. He's like, let's fix this stuff in you. And I'm like, that's not what I asked for, God. That's not what I'm looking for at all. I really think you need to smoke this person right here that I'm dealing with, you know, just get them out of the way. And he's like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to smoke you, Dale, because you've got issues, pal. You know what I mean? And if you're like, well, I don't ever want to hear God if that's what he's going to do. But that's what he does. And when he speaks to us and we know it, like, it changes things. So the first thing this guy did, he heard, and the second thing he believed, and then this, he simply obeyed. He simply obeyed. And I love this because in the official's mind, here's what he needed. He needed Jesus to come. He went that whole way. I'm assuming he rehearsed it. And he's like, I'm going to come right back through this path. And man, I hope this dude, Jesus, that says he's the Messiah, I hope he comes with me because my boy's got to live. So he shows up and he's like, Jesus, I just need you to come. And Jesus, on the other hand, he's saying, what you really need to do is just go. Because when we have a need, we have a plan on how God can do it, right? God, this is what I need you to do, and this is how I need you to do it. And some people kind of dig in. There are people, like, what if he would have just said, Jesus, I'm not leaving here without you. I think his boy would have died. Jesus said, listen, you need to go. It's handled. And the guy just believed it, and he obeyed, not because of what the Bible says. I mean, yeah, it says he believed, it says he obeyed, but just the fact that he did that he walked away with no proof. He walked away from the healer with no proof, saying, all right, I'm going. It's done. And then he gets there and he realizes that it actually did happen. He just wanted him to go in faith. He just wanted him to obey. And I think that's what God's asking us to do. Listen to this in John 8. Jesus told the people who had faith in him, he told the believers, basically, he had faith in him, if you keep obeying what I've said, you are my disciples. If you keep obeying what I've said, you are truly my disciples. And this, isn't that what we want to be? Disciples, learners, followers. I don't care if you ever call me a Christian. I really don't. I just want you to look at me and be able to say, you know what? That guy's learning. He's a student of Jesus. We've talked about that. We've been talking about this year. We want to be disciples. And you know what was really cool at the end of that story? When that guy heard and he believed and he obeyed and he started back at the very end of what I read you. I don't know if you caught it, but it said this. It says, he and his whole household believed in Jesus. Just the sheer fact that he did those three things, he started making disciples. Not only did he become a believer, we talked about being disciples, we talked about making disciples, and we're like, God, I don't know enough Bible, I don't know what to teach to make a disciple, I don't know how I'm going to, this. We're going to find our one, and how am I going to teach them, and all that. Listen, this guy just, all he did was listen to the voice of God, he walked it out, he believed and walked it out, and he started making disciples just like that. Isn't that cool? Like, we can make disciples. So here's what I know. We can read this story, and at a first bird's eye view, we can say, hey, good story. God heals the sick. Bam. That's awesome. And yeah, but let me tell you what I take away from this is that one word from God changes everything. And I can hear him, and I can trust him for myself. There are so many of you listening to me right now, and if I were to give you a sheet of paper that had these words printed on it, Jesus, I need you to blank. You wouldn't even have to think. You would need more paper. I need you to do this. God, I need you to, oh gosh, God, I really need you to do this. I need you to do this. Let me tell you, he cares about that. That's a big deal to him. And he wants to talk to you about that. He truly wants to speak to you about that. He wants to move on your behalf. He's saying, listen, my words have power, and I want to do something about that. So here's what I want to do right at the end, the last few minutes. Wherever you are, I just want you to close your eyes for a moment, just so there's no distraction. And I want you to answer this question. Not out loud, just in your heart. Like, what miracle are you needing God to do? What are you desperate for? What are you desperate for? And my guess is you're not having to think hard. Like, it's right there. You walked in with it. That's the easy part. Now, maybe a little bit harder, because now you're like, this is it. This is what I need. Ask this question under your breath. God, what do you want to say to me about this miracle that I need? Now, for like 30 seconds, I'm not going to say a word, because I don't want to distract you. And God, I ask that you'll speak to everyone listening to me and tell them what you want to say about the miracle that they need. Father God, I have no doubt in my mind that you've spoken to many in these last few seconds, because we slowed down and just gave you space. Because we were just quiet enough to listen. You were already speaking. We didn't allow you to speak. You were already speaking. We just slowed down to listen. And I pray, God, that those who heard you will believe you. And anything, any direction, any word that you give them from here on out, God, that they will be led in that area and they'll believe you. And for those maybe that didn't hear you in those few seconds, that they wouldn't give up on that. They would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God, that they're your sheep, you're their shepherd, and they can hear your voice. Now, God, I'm going to pray this prayer, but it's your word, and I know it's going to happen. But I just pray that your word will do exactly what it set out to do. When you just spoke that word into the hearts of many, and they hear you, and they believe you, and they obey you, that God, it won't return without accomplishing everything that you sent it out to do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.